This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so thanks everyone for joining us. And again, Judge Oxley will be with us just shortly. Until then, let me just go through the committee roster, and if you are present, please let me know. So Judge Bremer?
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Heinrichs?
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Pace?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Rockwell? We'll hold on for her. Judge Rockwell. Judge Wong. Okay. Sherry Carter.
Here.
Thank you. James Kim. Sean Matroika.
Here.
Thank you. Sharon Morton. Mike Planet.
Here.
Thanks, Mike. Bonnie Sloan. And Brian Taylor.
Here.
Thank you. Is there anyone whose name I did not call? Somebody just joined the line late? Who's that?
Yes, that's me, Judge Oxley. Sorry.
Oh, no. It was perfect time. I just got through the first round of the roll.
Great. The first thing we need to do is... Say hi. Hello, everybody. And seek approval of the minutes from the last meeting. April 11th and May 2nd was an action by email.
This is Mike Planet. Move to approve.
A second?
Sean Matroika.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Anybody opposed to the motion to approve the minutes of April 11th and May 2nd? Hearing none, the court will go ahead and approve those minutes. Welcome to who just joined.
This is Judge Wong.
All right. Thank you, Judge Wong. We have new members on this committee. We have the presiding judge from Kern, Charles Bremer. Is he on the line?
I am.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Kim, a CEO from Marin, are you there? Not yet.
Not
okay.
Present when I took the role. Not yet.
Okay. Ms. Sloan from Yuba?
And she also was not on the line yet.
Okay. So when they get on the line, we'll welcome them. Judge Asbury, I doubt she's on the line. She has resigned from the committee as her civil calendar, her commitment to the court and to her community service has gotten to be too much for her to be on this committee. So we'll be seeking a new member in the spring nomination cycle. And with that, because she's no longer on WAC, I appointed Judge Heinrichs to be our 1058 liaison. Judge Heinrichs, are you on the?
I am, yes.
Okay, so thank you for being willing to serve on the other capacity as a 1058 liaison.
Sure.
And you know what, Leah, I don't know if we put that on there, but Judge Heinrichs, do you have a report from the 1058?
Well, I don't have much of a report. The subcommittee had been on hold for quite a while, and we're just starting up again on December 11th. So obviously the idea is looking at equitable funding through the AB 1058 commissioner and attorney facilitator programs. And so if anyone has any thoughts or concerns that they want me to pass along, just let me know. And I think they all have my email, so just let me know. So no report, just asking for support and information.
All right. Well, we'll expect a report after the first of the year. Thank you very much for being willing to serve.
Sure.
We have the mandatory report of the standards and measures. Is there any comment or question on that? I don't need a motion. I just want you to know that it's there. All right, any questions? All right, then the discussion items for today is the proposed annual agenda. It starts on page 36 of the packet. This gives all the projects that we're going to be doing the judge workload study, et cetera. Are there any comments or questions about our annual agenda?
This is Sherry.
Secretary Carter, I have a question. There was a matter that was referred to this committee from the Funding Methodology Committee, Subcommittee of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and perhaps I missed it, but I did not see it on the work plan. It was related to the minutes, the weights and minutes related to traffic for infractions.
You're right. You did, Sherry. That's right. And, you know, I did not think to put it on the annual agenda. We were going to take that up at our February WAC meeting, but I certainly can add it in there.
That's okay, Leah. I don't know how this process works. I just wanted to make sure we addressed it because I knew it had been referred. So if it doesn't need to go on the annual agenda, but it's going to be as part of our discussion in February, that's good enough for me.
It is going to be on the discussion for the February meeting. We don't so I don't know that it needs to be included on the annual agenda, but it is part of our always currently looking at the RAS model.
So just if recommendations do come out of that discussion, they can proceed even if it's not included on the calendar that's approved by the council. There's not some rule that, you know, I just don't know how this works. I know there's been hiccups in other committees where things didn't progress because they weren't officially approved, and so that's my only concern is if there's discussion that leads to any movement, if it needs to go on the agenda to move it forward, I would suggest we put it there. But if not, if it's part of our annual review, that's fine.
Sherry, I can double check that to make sure, but as part of when we do the council report that includes the new model parameters for RAS, we tend to always create an opening for ourselves by including a recommendation that says that staff may come back periodically with interim modifications to RAS as needed. And so it would be under that allowance that I think we have the avenue to come back with a modification to the methodology.
Perfect. That's good. Thank you.
But thank you for issue spotting for us, Sherry. Are there anybody else that has questions or comments regarding the annual agenda? Do I have a motion? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, do you want me to summarize some of the activities done in there, or, you know, was included as a material so members also could review on their own, but I'm willing to do that if you'd like.
Is there anybody that wants, Leah, to give us a recitation of what's in the annual agenda that hasn't had a chance to look at it or doesn't understand some of it? Are new members included?
No, I read it. This is Bramer.
And I'm sure our CEOs understand it better than I ever will. All right, so I don't think we need that. So do I have a motion to approve?
This is Sherry. I'll make the motion.
Second?
Heinrichs will second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Hearing nothing, we'll go ahead and approve that. Item 7, we already talked about the 1058 subcommittee. And item 8, I'll turn that over to Leah.
Okay, terrific. And actually, I have Karen Visha here who's going to give, who did the analysis and would talk about the findings. But just to give an overview, this is was a follow-up item that came from one of the last meetings that we had in the spring when we finalized the staff workload study model. So as members might recall, we have a case weight that helps us assess the need for workload for complex civil cases. And it's a little bit different from how we typically measure workload for the other case types. We use filings data reported in GPSIS to quantify the volume of workload or the volume of matters coming in. And those filings are then given a weight that expresses how much time and minutes it takes for court staff to do all of the tasks and activities involved. For complex civil, because it is not a filings type, We rely instead on fee data that is collected and compiled by our budget department to determine how many cases, it's a proxy measure for how many cases there might be of this type. And so we take the plaintiff fees paid, and if we just for illustration say that $10,000 was collected in plaintiff fees, and the fee amount for each of those cases is $1,000, then we can just divide that $10,000 by the $1,000 and determine that there are 10 of those matters. And so that's our proxy measure for complex. And a question was raised at one of our last meetings about whether or not we were missing a universe of cases when government entities file as plaintiffs in these matters. And so Karen has gone back to do a follow-up study, and she's going to talk a little bit about her findings.
So what we did is we looked at the range of complex cases across the courts, and we picked out 6 courts that have the most complex cases per year. And we asked them whether or not they could provide us with information on government filings, and if they can, could they give us 3 fiscal years, 2013-14 through 2015-16. Those 6 courts were Orange, Placer, Riverside, San Francisco, and Santa Clara and Los Angeles. Los Angeles was not able to give us a count, so they're not in the final numbers. And San Francisco was able to give us a count, but they couldn't separate out government from other fee waiver groups. So it's probably a bit higher than what actually is government filings. For those years that we asked for, Orange had a total of 4 in those 3 years for an average of 1.33. Placer had a total of 5 for those 3 years with an average of 1.67. Riverside had an average of 1 for, they had 3 in those 3 years. San Francisco had 31 for an average of 10.33. And Santa Clara had 1 for an average of 0.33. Also, to offset this, is not only did San Francisco was not able to separate out the government from the other fee waivers, but when the government prevails, and you probably all know this, but I'm going to go through it anyway, then the defendant has to pay. So we don't know how that all settles out, and we can't tell you that because we weren't able to pull that information out, but it's probably lower than what we have here. When you look at the percentage of the total cases we're talking about, for those 5 courts that were able to respond, 2% and lower, depending on those other 2 issues.
So on average, so for those 5 courts over the for the last fiscal year, there were about 1,200 complex civil cases.
That's right, 1,259.
And of those 1,259, there were 21 cases where a waiver or a government entity likely had filed as plaintiff. Is that right?
And so filed as plaintiff, yeah.
About 2%.
Except for San Francisco, that might have a few more in there.
Right.
And I'm sorry to
join?
Yeah, sorry. This is Judge Jennifer Rockwell. I'm afraid my calendar ran late.
Oh, no, that's just fine. We're just talking about the last item on the agenda, the complex civil cases.
Oh, that was speedy.
So we had just presented just an overview of our of the data findings on the matter, and just for the benefit of Judge Rockwell, just to get to the punchline on it, that we saw for the 5 courts where they had the most number of civil cases, complex civil cases filed, those 5 courts, Orange, Placer, Riverside, San Francisco, Santa Clara, had a total of 1,259 complex cases filed, and of those 21, there were 21 waivers filed where the where a government entity was likely the plaintiff. So about a 2% of the cases have that characteristic, and so the thought on the staff side is that we're not missing, in our opinion, a large universe of cases when we compile the information on complex. So the concern had been expressed that maybe we were missing a significant number of cases where government is the filer. And I think our initial run at this is that we're not, we are not.
Yeah, and I heard from each of the courts, except from maybe one or two, that generally speaking, government is the defendant in the cases. They rarely file, and when they do file, it's usually a pretty solid case, and they're going to prevail. So we really don't know if 2% is accurate. It's probably less than 2% of all the cases.
So this is Judge Rockwell. I did do a quick reach out to our folks this morning, and I'm not sure they were included in the reach out, or if we were, if we responded. But,
no, you were not.
Okay. So one of the concerns then, at least from I'm receiving from the Sacramento CEO, is as one of the five places where there is the California AG's office, they file a fair bit. We have four departments set up largely as writ departments to handle government cases. And so we're not certain whether or not that same number would apply to that. And then partly, and I know I did a call earlier today, and perhaps this is a bad confession. So I worked at the State Attorney General's office for a little over a decade. I was the prevailing party on several matters where we brought. I sought fees to be repaid to the court precisely once. I had clients that did not wish me to go do that because the cost to them far, far exceeded the costs that would go to the courts. So even though I was the prevailing party, those fees were never paid, as far as I'm aware. And it certainly was not the unusual practice in the section I was in. So my concern is that it may be for other folks where it can be at least a decent enough number that it's not something that should necessarily just be ignored. And some of the other thoughts I was just having today is things like high-speed rail, where they are going through and doing fairly complicated land issues and having to bring a fair number of suits. It may not be a huge number compared to what a big county is dealing with, but high-speed rail and Caltrans aren't paying filing fees. But those cases are not necessarily not complex.
Judge Rockwell, do you know, this is Judge Oxney, do you know that your CEO can give us statistics? Because as we've heard before you got on the call, Los Angeles wasn't able to provide the breakdown.
I don't know.
And the future and courts may want to track so that we could look at this again. But the percentages that we've seen in those six counties are de minimis.
This is Sherry Carter from Los Angeles, and I tend to agree with you. If we've identified that there may be an issue, I think that the CEOs should be instructed that if they're concerned about their individual counties, I'll instruct staff to track them, even if it's manually, so that maybe we could put it on the agenda in a year and see if in those counties where there may be a large number, we'll have a bigger pool to assess from. But I think, you know, I agree with the group that we don't have enough data right now to change our process. If we want to look at it again, I will ask my staff to track manually, and I would encourage Sacramento and any other county to do the same thing, because it might be if we find something different in a year, we might need to have a process where those courts that identify those types of cases would need to submit them to Leah's shop in a different manner.
All right. Judge Rockwell, can you live with that? Because right now we don't have any data on that, so we can't change anything. I mean,
right, and I'm not suggesting to maybe make a change right now, but I do think and I can see the government cases might be de minimis in a huge county like LA. It just seems, and partly it may be my perspective, but I spent an entire career doing them, and we did not do them outside of Sacramento County unless we were forced.
Well, why don't we do this? Sherry, why don't you go back to the CEOs and raise this issue and see what counties want to start manually counting them?
Yeah, I will email, when we're done here, I will email the SEAC chair and ask her to put it on the agenda for the next SEAC meeting and advise all of the CEOs that it would be good for us to track these cases for the next year. There isn't a way to really count them anyway, so I think collecting 1 year of data would be helpful, and if we find that there was a big difference in Sacramento, for example, or some other county that we haven't even considered, then we'll have that data. So I will be happy to do that.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yep. And I really don't want to force people to go through tons of work. I'm wondering if even before we do that step, maybe I could go back and check with our CEO, because if he comes back and says there were five, I don't want to make the CEOs of 57 other counties do something because it's what I did as a career.
I think that's a good suggestion, actually. It will be a lot of work. We have seven complex courts. We have a lot of filings. It'll be hard to track it manually. So if you're okay with that, Judge, why don't we have her go back, talk to her CEO, and if she feels it's still an issue, then raise it, and then I can bring it up at the CX meeting.
I think that's a good compromise. So let's table this to February, to the meeting.
Okay.
All right. That's all that I had for us today, except to say that we are, as I sort of hinted, we are getting ready to send out a doodle for an in-person meeting in February. I've got three dates proposed that I think that are open. They're in early February, and we're going to send out a doodle poll this morning or this afternoon. So if you guys could get back as, you know, quick as we can go ahead about setting that up. It'll be a day meeting starting at 10, ending at 3 at the latest. It would not be an overnight. It'll be during midweek, not on a Friday. And, you know, except in a situation where we aren't ready to talk about the things that we need to talk about, and then we'd cancel it, but I'd rather have it get on the calendar because we would, I think we would be ready to start talking about the judicial needs study. So, Leah, do you have anything else?
No, that's all I had, and so we will be sending that poll out later today.
Is there anything that anybody else has they want to talk about? All right. With that, the meeting is adjourned, and we will follow up with you by email for the next meeting. Thank you all for participating and giving me half of your lunch hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.